Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast for November 10th, 2006. I'm Brian Wilkins, and in today's podcast, we will discuss the cause, the effect, and the impact hip-hop is having on young African-Americans. I will quote from my interview with Dr. Choky L. Hamill, a professor of history at Arizona State University who specializes in African studies, to get his take on hip-hop and its effect on African-American youth. We will go over the history of music in Black America, how hip-hop started, and why hip-hop now needs to be used more responsibly by those who control it, meaning the multimillionaire rappers, the record companies, and the media conglomerates who play the music on radio. Hip-hop has become somewhat of the antithesis of what African-American music has always been prior to the mid-1970s. Now, the poetry aspect of some rap lyrics written by some artists deserves high praise, but African-American music has always been about drums and other percussion instruments, woodwinds, strings, tambourines, you know, whatever, always been about rhythm. And with a majority of rappers refusing to be positive role models to kids who look up to them, a population of criminals has subsequently been created. Will Smith, one of the most successful rappers ever, sometimes known as the Fresh Prince, said in an Associated Press interview, quote, "The gangster lifestyle is celebrated in the Black community because of its strength. The dude that sells the drugs or has the guns or is most willing to kill somebody is the dude that has the greatest potential for survival, or at least that's the perception. So that's what people strive for, but the smartest dude survives the best," end quote. So where did hip-hop originate? Hip-hop started sometime in the early 1970s in the Bronx, New York. It was originally a movement that centered around four pillars: rapping, graffiti art, breakdancing, and DJing. And because predominantly Black public schools in the United States lacked music programs then and now, sampling or taking a beat or sound from an already existing song became the primary method for DJs to create the music the MC would rap over. The hip-hop movement, as it used to be, was a way inner-city youth expressed their frustrations about the world they live in, or the schools they go to, the corrupt police forces they have to deal with, and so on and so forth. When hip-hop was an underground art, everything was fine. The commercialization of hip-hop, starting in 1979, is when everything started going downhill. Let's look at music and its evolution in the United States as it pertains to African Americans. Pre-1865 in the United States, spirituals would make field work for enslaved Africans a less suicidal activity, if that's possible, and would be used to communicate in virtual code to other enslaved Africans about things they couldn't communicate with the enslaver. After Reconstruction, blues and jazz emerged. Rock and roll and doo-wop came around in the 40s through the 60s. Funk was popularized by James Brown in the 60s as well. And then disco was the last creative genre of popular African-American music in the United States. 1979, arguably, is the year Black America lost its musical soul. Anthems about prison, drugs, misogyny, and taking pride in being a thug replaced the art of creating music. 17 years later, in 2006, graduation rates for young Black kids are at all-time lows, and incarceration rates are at all-time highs. How and why did all this happen? Can music really have that big an influence on people? Two events occurred in 1979 that led to African Americans becoming musical puppets instead of the musical artists, the musical geniuses they once were. Music has been a huge part of West African culture for as far back as we have archaeological and oral evidence. Note, West Africa is where a vast majority of African Americans' ancestral roots can be traced to. Music is what defines many young Black kids, and hip-hop, unfortunately, is that choice of music. So how did the transition from disco to hip-hop happen? Well, the 1970s were a strange time for all Americans. We were engaged in a war we would eventually lose. It was the first full decade following the Civil Rights Act being passed, and we had a president in office who would eventually resign because of the Watergate scandal. So in 1972, a New York City radio DJ named Frankie Crocker decided to play a funky, soulful tune by an artist named Manu Dibango. And the song is called Soul Makossa, and the rest, as they say, is history. Dibango's Soul Makossa is generally accepted as the first song played on radio that would be classified as disco. From there, up until 1979, disco became a worldwide phenomenon, not only on radio, but in dance clubs where people would party and have a good time at it until basically the break of dawn. Artists who weren't even disco acts made disco songs just to be a part of the craze. For instance, Blondie and their song Heart of Glass, Rod Stewart, Do You Think I'm Sexy, and Barry Manilow's probably his biggest hit, Copacabana, just to name a few. The phenomenon, like virtually all forms of African-American music, spread to every corner of the globe, from the UK to India. But most importantly, disco brought black and white together like never before in the United States compared to the polarizing effect hip-hop has. In the 1970s, black and white danced and partied the nights away in discos, just a few years removed from segregation. Jazz had this similar positive effect on black and white in the United States. In my interview with Dr. L. Hamill, who's extremely knowledgeable in West African culture and music, he said, quote, "The link between West Africa and African Americans can clearly and undeniably be seen in music. When Africans came to America, they absorbed new elements of music from Europeans and produced new sounds, like jazz." End quote. African-American youth have clearly lost this ability because hip-hop and synthesizers have taken over. The practice of music is continued through sampling, but the creative aspect is gone. Dr. L. Hamill continued, quote, "Hip-hop is social commentary to negotiate with society from the view of displaced people. Hip-hop is just not consistent as far as what they are expressing. It is now a consumer-based culture as opposed to the movement it once was," end quote. Okay, now we get to 1979. There are two people who aren't very well known who can be credited with the demise of disco and the birth of mainstream hip-hop, deliberately or otherwise: Sylvia Robinson and Steve Dahl. Robinson was a successful musician in the 1960s, but needed a career boost in 1979 after running into financial troubles. Robinson lived in New York City and noticed a fad that had been prominent since the early 1970s, where inner-city kids would gather for outdoor parties and speak lyrics over quote-unquote borrowed beats from other artists. So Mrs. Robinson went and gathered three of the most popular rappers of the time, Wonder Mike, Big Bang Hank, and Master G. She signed them to her label, Sugar Hill Records. The three rappers took on the name the Sugar Hill Gang, with the Pow Pow Boogie and the Big Bang Bang, if you don't remember. They released the single Rapper's Delight that shot up the charts, and which also borrowed the beat from Chic's disco hit Good Times, and basically mainstream business-oriented hip-hop was born right then. That's Sylvia Robinson's story. Now, Steve Dahl, on the other hand, is responsible in a much different way. Dahl was fired from a Chicago radio station on Christmas Eve in 1978 because the station had changed its format to disco and Dahl didn't fit the genre, according to the radio station. Soon after his termination, he was hired by WLUP in Chicago and teamed with the White Sox and his promotions director and came up with the idea of Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park, basically in retaliation for his firing. Dahl and White Sox ownership were only expecting about 5,000 additional fans as a result of the promotion, which basically said, bring all your unwanted disco records and you can get into the game, which was a doubleheader, for 98 cents. They never in their wildest dreams could have imagined the estimated 60,000 people who showed up to a normally empty, quiet stadium that housed the then last place Chicago White Sox. But the trigger point was when Dahl blew up a box of disco records in center field, which led to complete and utter chaos and cancellation of the second game of what was supposed to be that doubleheader. In the late 70s was also a time when negative sentiment towards disco was growing among American hard rock fans, and a time when propaganda spread saying disco was for homosexuals. Disco Demolition Night, along with that propaganda, did exactly what it set out to. Now here we are today with hip-hop, or virtual music plagiarism, being the primary genre of popular black music, and to some extent being used as a synonym for African-American. No longer can we call hip-hop a movement. It is now a training regiment for criminals. In 1989, in response to an influx in black-on-black crime, a who's who of East Coast rappers got together and released the song Self-Destruction in an effort to communicate to inner-city youth that crime and violence isn't the way to go. 1 year later, West Coast rappers released We're All in the Same Gang with a similar message. And with both projects, all proceeds went to organizations to help combat inner-city violence. And do you really think Sean Combs, Jay-Z, and DMX today would collaborate for something like this and risk losing their street cred? I think not. So what can be done about this hip-hop infection? Well, first off, BET has the audacity to claim hegemony on African-American culture, so they need to be more representative. In case they don't know, there is a lot more to being black than rap videos and gangster movies. Second, music programs need to return to inner-city schools. Music study has been linked to people being better overall students and just better overall people. A study done by D.L. Hammond and L.M. Walker in the Journal of Research in Music Education concluded that black kids were more likely to look at music teachers as role models than they would teachers of any other discipline. And yes, I know music programs would cost a lot of money, but all we would have to do is skip the next useless trip around the moon in a space shuttle, and the United States could use that few billion dollars to not only bolster the education of African-American students, but all students in the United States with that kind of money. And finally, hip-hop needs to return to its roots. It used to be a movement to let the world know what's wrong in inner-city neighborhoods. I realize it's sex, drugs, and crime sells, which is why the change doesn't have to be abrupt, so corporate giants like Clear Channel and all millionaire rappers don't lose much money. Gangster rap needs to go back to being a small fraction of hip-hop, as opposed to the face of hip-hop, which is what it has become. I mean, what are black Americans concerned with nowadays? You know, the lack of quality education, the lack of subsequent employment opportunities because of that lack of education, the U.S. government's handling of Hurricane Katrina. I mean, there's some very clever MCs out there. I'm sure some of you could find a way to release your money-making, booty-shaking, fun songs about parties, songs of drugs and violence, and include a few songs that are actually telling kids something useful they can take with them. And yes, I defend disco, and it's not like it was the most wholesome music ever created, but it was, however, creative. It challenged African Americans, kids and adults, to learn to play instruments, to write lyrics, and choreograph videos and shows. And again, music education leads to better students, to better citizens. There are many factors that contribute to the state of African America, but hip-hop is the virus we need to find the cure for quickly. Because as the rapper 50 Cent talks about, many of these kids will die trying to get rich if we don't. I'm Brian Wilkins, and thank you for listening. Good night.